passage where Paul describes who Jesus is. And we've talked about a number of things. I'll summarize them at the very end for us again this morning. We have two more weeks of this that we're going to talk about. In this section of the passage, he talks about Jesus being the beginning and the firstborn from the dead. There is a really scary ride at Busch Gardens. I think a few of the kids this year have already tried it out. Maybe a couple of the adults, too. It's called Falcon's Fury. And if you've never been on it, you've probably seen the advertisements for it on TV. It is designed to trigger every fear you've ever had about heights and falling and hitting the ground and even enclosed spaces, because it kind of ties you in there before you go up. This ride goes 290 feet into the air with you seated there with nothing in front of you except a chest plate. And then at the very top of the ride, the chair tilts forward so that you're facing 300 feet straight down, and then it drops you. And it's so scary being up there at the top that by the time that they're getting ready to drop you, that part's not scary at all. You're just like, get me back down to the ground. Drop me right now. Please get this over with. Do you know what allows me to get on that ride and to enjoy it? Is standing in line for the 10 or 15 minutes before it's your turn and watching other people get off and walk away. And you are able, at least I'm able in my mind, to rationalize and say, oh, okay, I realize that engineers with a college degree built this thing, and government workers inspected it, and so it's designed according to sound engineering principles. It functions, it's licensed, everything's going to be okay. But what really makes me feel good is seeing the people in front of me get off the ride in one piece, laughing and enjoying things. Okay, I can do that too, because I'm going to get off that ride in a minute, and I'm going to be laughing with a big smile on my face too. It always helps when somebody goes first. It always helps when somebody goes first. You ever been on the Nantahala River and you hire one of those guide groups to take you, or perhaps like us, you skip all that and you just get your own raft? But standing there at the end of the river watching the people get off, yeah, they're wet, but they're all in one piece. They're all laughing, they're all having a good time. They've made it from the beginning to the end, and they all get out. And you remember that when you're the one who goes up to the top and you shoot down that river and those rapids and you think, there's no way I'm going to get out of this alive, and you remember somebody else, a lot of somebody else's went first. And have you ever been in that position where you try to encourage others? And you say, yes, I know going to the dentist is no fun, but I've been to the dentist many times. I've had that cavity drilled. I've had those braces put on and put off. It's not as bad as it sounds like. Or to say, here, let me show you. Even with infants, we have to do that. When you're raising your children to teach them how to swim, and you know, most kids don't like to have their heads put underwater, and you say, look, watch this. And you go underwater for a few seconds, blow a few bubbles, and then you come back up again. And your kid realizes, oh, it's okay. It's going to be fine. It's always helpful to encourage others by going first. Whether that's something exciting like rappelling down a cliff or something disgusting like eating a cricket, when you go first, you don't want to do that? That's fun. Try it. When others go first, you are strengthened to be able to do the same thing. In this passage, we are told that Jesus went first. He stood at the chasm of death. He surrendered himself to that. He gave his life upon the cross to prove that he is exactly who he claimed to be all along, the one who had come to save us from our sins, not just to give himself to die, but that he had come to destroy death. Jesus conquered death by surrendering to it first, and then by being resurrected from the grave, coming to newness, to glorified life, never again to die. In that sense, he is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the creation. That word beginning is actually a difficult one to translate. It's a Greek word that actually has a much broader range of meanings than just beginning. It means source or head or even the initiator of something. Jesus is the beginning in the sense, like we studied in the first part of this passage, that he is the creator of the world. Here, he's the beginning of the church. He is the source or the initiator of the church. How so? By resurrection. By the same sense in which he is the creator of the world, he is the creator of the church by his resurrection. And so as we gather around this table this morning, I know that most often we center our minds and our thoughts and our words around his death. And that's for a good reason, because he did that for us, and we do this. We partake of his body and his blood in remembrance of his sacrificial death. But it's the resurrection that made the death significant. And the fact that he is the firstborn from the dead indicates that he will lead to victory a host of others when that day comes. How are you and I able to face death? Because Jesus went first and faced it on our behalf. He stood at that same chasm. He plunged himself in and emerged a victor to drain it of all of its worry and concern. So that when we stand at that moment and we're facing death, we can remind ourselves, wait, Jesus went first. He emerged victorious. And by that very same promise of his blood and his resurrection, I shall emerge victorious from this moment as well. Why? Because Jesus went first. We gather around this table to give thanks to our Lord and Savior, to commemorate his death, to thank him for draining the power and the fear from death, to allow us to face that same death in a position of strength and faith. Jesus went first. We're going to sing a song and partake together.